Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cal is a kick-ass racquetball player.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it is, and we got a hell of a week going here in Houston. Been a rough one. It was a rough stretch last week with the Astros and the Texans twice. Lainey Wilson's concert got canceled, y'all. It was worse, and it just keeps getting worse as we roll. Yesterday, we found out that Fred VanVleet, Rockets guard, Rockets leader, was done for the season, blew his knee out. And then today we get the breaking news that C.J. Gardner-Johnson, safety for the Houston Texans, veteran safety, Super Bowl winning safety from last year with the Eagles, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been released, and there is a lot of noise around this one, y'all. This is a player that was viewed as bringing that Super Bowl experience to the Texans. He was viewed as the caliber player that was going to help this defense take the next step. He was viewed as a vocal leader that this team, I think the overall team, needs. A couple of weeks ago, he was given some more guaranteed money. I don't know the details of all of that transaction, but he was given some upfront money. Hell, Sunday he played 93% of the snaps. And today he is released, and the news and notes are starting to drop. Sources are starting to talk, and apparently given reasons why C.J. Gardner-Johnson was cut. And I got to believe that a good chunk of this is coming from inside the building over there, and the fact that I've confirmed, as far as I'm concerned, the reports are inaccurate. They're not schematically what is being said. And I would imagine that is going to rub C.J. Gardner-Johnson the wrong way. And so we are going to keep an eye on his social medias.
Now, that's a reputation thing, man.
If the reports are correct and if they are coming from within the building, which DJ Bieniemy is not a guy that's going to go out there and all of a sudden just start making stuff up. So he's very professional.
He said team sources.
Yeah, team sources. So, I don't think it's made up. I think it's coming from inside there. I think it's inaccurate. And I think that is going to, that as if C.J. Gardner-Johnson needed a reason to act a fool, I think we're going to get it. We're going to get that, his side of the story. And we'll also get D'Amico's side of the story tomorrow. Now, he may choose to stick his head in the sand, which his organization typically does with these types of situations. But we shall see. With enough reports out there floating around, D'Amico may want to show a little transparency and at least shed a little light on the situation. Again, this is not just a role player. This is a guy, this is your number one acquisition in the offseason. This is a guy that you brought in here to take an already really, really good team to the next level. That's kind of expectations. You paid him handsomely to do it, to now let him go, to not even be able to work out a trade, or be patient with this guy 3 weeks into the season is wild. So we'll keep you updated on all the details. It is a Tuesday, which means it is a tape drop Tuesday, and the tape is dropped. I've had a chance to watch it, both offense and defense. And I think the biggest The biggest concern in Houston has shifted, Ron. I don't think that the biggest concern is in Houston right now is about the pass protection for CJ Stroud, the offensive line for CJ Stroud. Now, I think that's still a pressure point. I think it's still a talking point. I think we still gotta hold these guys accountable because it has not been good. But I think it's shifted, Ron, to a point of where what's happening to CJ Stroud? What's going on with CJ Stroud? And I think on several fronts. Look, I think the pressers have been very interesting. I'll say this. I greatly appreciate CJ Stroud's response and reaction to being 0-3. I greatly appreciate the lollygagging comment. I didn't think it was funny. I didn't think it should have been made light of. I thought it should have been supported. I love the shift that we've seen in CJ Stroud. I do wonder how it's embraced in the building. CJ Stroud has been through hell the last 9 games of last year. In this training camp, he got the hell beat out of him. And I think that's where I want to start, Ron. I want to point out the film this week shows that CJ Stroud is feeling the pressure, and I'm talking about the literal pressure of defenses hitting him in the face. There's multiple times the last 2 games, probably if my memory doesn't serve me real well because my memory's jacked up, I guess. But there's several sacks that could have been avoided, several pressures that should have been fielded by the quarterback, and plays have been made where it's just a matter of pushing up in the pocket, Ron. It's a matter of not seeing
the
pressure.
He's feeling ghost, isn't he?
He's seeing ghost. He's feeling pressure. He's not just sliding and keeping his eyes downfield. He's sliding and taking off. He's hitting the eject button early. He's making decisions, ill-advised decisions that you saw on the interception. It is muddy right now for CJ Stroud. No doubt about it. It is muddy for him. He's not seeing things clear. He's flushing too quick. He's not CJ Stroud is a pocket passer. Anybody that doesn't understand that or think that is absolutely dead ass wrong. He is a pocket passer. And what pocket passers have to do is slide in the pocket, stay in your trigger position, stay in that neutral position, stay a threat to throw the football from sideline to sideline. The minute you flush, you cut the field in half. You do the defense a favor, right? The minute CJ takes off running, instead of staying in there and delivering an accurate ball downfield, he does the defense a favor. Miss me with all the, quarterback, it's the ultimate equalizer. It is if you're Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, a handful of guys. It's not if you are CJ Stroud. It's not if you are Joe Burrow. It's not if you are, Dak Prescott at this point in time with his injuries. It's not. He is, whether he's being coached to take off running or he's feeling the pressure. It's impacting his play big time. And this CJ Stroud right here is not going to win games in Houston. There's no doubt about it, Ron. There's several plays where this holds true, but there's one where no doubt he's getting a little bit of pressure, but we see it every Friday night in high school. You slide step, which in this case would have been to his face, like just slide, boom, right foot reset. And Nico Collins is screaming across the middle of the field about 15 yards deep for a big play, and he ends up scrambling. Now, he goes and scrambles for 11 or 12 yards and gets the first down, but the point is you can't make a living, you can't win in this league bypassing those type throws and hoping that you go make a run for a touchdown. There's no doubt about it. CJ Stroud is feeling the pressure, and it's impacting his play in a big, big way.
You said regressed earlier.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you think that regression is for the most part to do with the amount of pressure that he has been under the last year plus?
Yeah, I think CJ Stroud really his entire career, but it didn't start biting him in the ass until the second half of last year. And, CJ Stroud caught the brunt of it, whether it was due to injuries or just poor offensive line play or injuries to the wide receiver or the offensive coordinator's a tyrant and he don't want to talk to anybody, he don't want to change anything. Whatever it may be, the pressure on this quarterback has been through the roof, tremendous, for the last 9 games of last year and for all of training camp and for 3 games this year, right? We all talk about the pressure, but you talk like the literal pressure of the defense pressuring him and sacking him, but you talk about the pressure of trying to do your job at the best of your ability and trying to install an offense and trying to get good looks and trying to get good reads, and the organization is constantly rolling you out there and getting your head beat in and creating more chaos around you when you're going ones versus ones with your defense. And all it is a compounding effect of those things happening. Nobody anywhere thought, hey, let's call the dogs off. Let's. And I said this during camp, so don't talk about this hindsight stuff. I said it in camp. Like, nobody ever thought that it'd be a good idea for C.J. Stroud to throw from a clean pocket for a week and let him see whether these concepts are going to work or not. Nobody ever thought that it would be smart to let C.J. Stroud, like, overwork pushing up in the pocket and pushing up into a clean pocket every single time so he creates that habit of pushing up in the pocket. Now he gives so much ground, your tackles you can't protect. So I just think C.J. Stroud has been impacted in a major way by the dysfunction, by the inability to protect him, by the constant chaos and pressure around the quarterback. I think we've gone beyond the normal chaos that's created around an NFL quarterback. And the normal chaos that you expect him to navigate. I think it's been a long run, and I think we're seeing it impact his play. There's no doubt about it. From the decision making to the accuracy to the footwork to the way he bails early, the poise in the pocket, it's all struggling. And I think it's because C.J. Stroud, the amount of chaos that he's had to live in for the betterment of a year, really, at this point in time, Ron. So. I think the film shows that. Number two, Laken Tomlinson. Now, I'm in no way, shape, or form supporting the rotation at guard during a game that you got to win versus a division opponent on the road. I think that's plumb ass silly. But Laken Tomlinson is the one piece up front that, from a pass protecting standpoint, looks like he's overwhelmed. He looks like he is overwhelmed.
Have you been saying that in the other games too?
I didn't. I mean, he got beat. Yes, they all got beat. You know, from time to time. But I didn't notice it being like, man, he's just panicking and losing all of his technique and mechanics and just getting beat just so badly to where he can't even keep contact with the D lineman. This was a game where, although he only played 42% or 43% of the snaps, there was enough there to say that I got to believe Juice Scruggs is a better option. I think Juice Scruggs should start at left tackle. I don't think, again, I hate the way they addressed it. Either you like Juice Scruggs at left guard or you like Laken Tomlinson at left guard and we go play a game, right? You don't go in with the plan of we're going to rotate these guys through and hopefully they'll figure it out. That sounds silly as hell to me. But nonetheless, I think the overall point is Laken Tomlinson left guard should absolutely be replaced by Juice Scruggs. I think he brings a lot to the table. You may see some similar problems in pass protection, but at least you're getting a young guy in there that you're getting him some experience and you can expect him to develop and grow.
It is concerning because they seem to be hell-bent on avoiding in every way to playing.
Getting him on the field. It's wild to think that's where they're at, but that's where they're at. All right, the pass catchers, Ron, in this offense, they've got to pick it up, man. The pass catchers in this offense are not doing C.J. Stroud or Nick Caley any favors. And look, Nick Caley's offense, you start charting plays and you start charting routes and drawing them up. I don't know what they're doing, man. I mean, a lot of these concepts don't make a lot of sense. But Nico Collins with the drop. Now, it was tipped. I was harsh on Nico. I think you're a top 10 receiver in this league. If a ball gets tipped at the line of scrimmage, it travels 10 yards and hits you in the chest. I think you got to make that catch. I still think that is a drop. Christian Kirk not getting his toe down on second and like eight or something would have made it our second and five would have made it a third and two instead of a third and five. Now they ended up converting it, yes, but you got to get your foot down. That's just discipline. Yeah. That's just work. You're Christian Kirk. You had plenty of time to do it. Jaden Higgins has absolutely no business cutting his splits and trying to block in the box. None. He doesn't have the want to. He doesn't have the ability. It is a liability with him in. You might as well split him out wide, let him take the corner with him, eliminate the corner from the read, and then deal with the safety a different way. There is no doubt about it, Ron. Higgins is not ready to be a guy that cuts his splits and goes digs out safeties. He doesn't want to. He's not physical by nature, it doesn't appear. And so that's got to be a thing of the past. Guys, Dalton Schultz is a guy that I have been pleasantly surprised with this season, to be completely honest with you. I've been pleasantly surprised with what we're seeing. But there's a moment in this game where it's third and eight or nine. C.J. Stroud directs traffic. C.J. Stroud gets the ball out to Xavier Hutchinson, and he gets 7 yards on 3rd and 9, right? If Dalton Schultz executes a block at all, then it's a first down, maybe even a big play. But you want to talk about busting out of this funk that you're in? Let's go on 3rd and 9. Let's throw a ball 2 yards from the line of scrimmage and let a guy run and go get it. That's when you know you're doing some good things. You want to get some momentum rolling, and Dalton Schultz not making that block. It is, he's been better overall, but that was piss poor. And then Nico Collins, I mean, he's just been terrible in the run game as well, in a sense of blocking in a physical manner. These cut splits run, I'm going to cover this tomorrow in Dirty's Daily. I'm going to talk about what this offense needs to look like. But the cut splits, I'll give you a little hint. The cut splits for this team are doo-doo. They got to go. Whether it's Nico Collins or Higgins or whoever you want, they're pointless. You're inviting more mud to the water, if you will. You're making it more difficult for everybody involved, in particular the guys that are struggling, and you got to get out of that. And Nico and Higgins have definitely, they have confirmed my thought of you got to get out of that.
Speaking of struggling and having to get out of it, that is the Houston Astros. They need to get out of this thing. And currently right now, they are tied with the Cleveland Guardians, but the Guardians won the season series, so they have the tiebreaker. So if it started today, they would be out of the playoffs. I do have a question I wanted to chew on during the break. We'll talk about it on the other side. Let's say the worst happens. If they blow this second half lead and they end up missing the playoffs for the first time since 2016, do they deserve a pass because the injuries have been so, so crazy this year for the Astros? Chew on that. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Houston Astros baseball spring training.
Sports Wheel 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Astros, they're back on the field as they are, hopefully they're not having too good of a time. They're in Vegas. I'm sorry, they're in Sacramento, not in Vegas yet. Damn.
Well, I was trying to get them there quick. The levels of fun are very different between those two.
I bet you Sacramento could be a hell of a town.
Stop.
I bet you. You know what? I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska too, bro.
Nah, hold on, man. Don't do that Sacramento now. Don't do that Sacramento. Come on, man. It's at least close to the Bay Area. Like, let's not do that. But no, they're in Sacramento to play in that minor league park to face the A's. They've got the A's and the Angels left, two teams that they're better than. They should, hopefully for them, take care of some business and at least come out of that 4-2, you would hope, in the final six games of the season. Because they are currently in danger to missing the playoffs for the first time since 2016, which is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. One, the stretch that they have had this type of dominance, that they have been a fixture in the postseason, which it is hard to do that many years in a row. But this may be it. Right now, as they currently sit, Christian Javier gets the ball tonight, by the way. As they sit, Clint and Tyler, they are tied record-wise with the Cleveland Guardians, who have gone nuts. The Guardians are one game out of first place in the AL Central, and they play the Tigers, and they start a series right now against the Tigers. So that one is going to be very similar to what it was this weekend for the Astros and Mariners. That'll be for the Central. And then the loser is the team that the Astros need to look out. Because right now they're tied with the Guardians, but the Guardians hold the tiebreaker. And check with that for me, if you can, Tyler, did they beat the Tigers in their season series? Did the Astros have the tiebreaker over the Tigers? I'm trying to remember those games. I don't feel like they do. But that's a thing to watch right there. They've got to finish above the Guardians to jump them. And
Detroit's got the tiebreaker.
Okay, so they have to finish ahead of either one of those teams to get a playoff spot. But this was my question. I see some people who have thrown their thoughts out.
That's not right. That's not right. Houston has a tiebreaker over Detroit. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, they've got that over the Tigers. They won the season series.
Tigers took two of three, and then the Astros swept them. So the Astros have won four of six.
Sorry, boys.
Well, then,
all
right. Well, that's better. All right.
I'm just looking at the schedule, so my eyes could.
I trust you more than these damn robots.
Well, I just remember them. I remember the last time they played Detroit, they swept them, and I was like, man, did Detroit sweep them the first time? So, no, they took two of three. Unless there's a series I'm missing.
No, they only played twice. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah.
Appreciate you double checking.
Yep. There you go. So they do have the tiebreaker over the Tigers, so they could just finish tied with the Tigers, but they have to finish above the Guardians because the Guardians took four games in that seven games they played this year. But my question is, if they aren't able to overtake the Guardians or the Tigers and get in, I guess they're still in play with the Mariners. But if they aren't able to overtake those teams, do they deserve a pass because of the injuries? They're the most injured team in the history of Major League Baseball in a season. Do you think they get a pass because of these injuries?
No.
You don't?
No. I mean, because I think typically I would say yes. But, I mean, when you look at how they had a seven-game lead in the division when it was at its worst.
Yeah, they've been leading the entire way until.
I mean, I can't lean into the injuries as to why you missed the playoffs. I can't lean into that. I think, it's been an up and down season. Yes, injuries have been a big part of it. Obviously, losing some of your best players for an extended period of time, if not all season, hurts. But I personally can't lean into the injuries as why they missed the playoffs. Not win the division, maybe. But hell, you had a seven-game lead in the division. I mean, you had a half-game lead in the division as early as a couple weeks ago. And so, I can't lean into it. And that's obviously a factor, but I can't lean into it as an excuse, no.
Ray, hate blaming injuries, but when you're the most injured in your sport has ever seen, I got to give them a break. I don't like doing this either. But I mean, Clint, I mean, they lost so many guys, man. They lost so much pitching. Like, that is the part. Like, they lost so much pitching. I can't even keep count of how many guys they've lost. They've lost, the reinforcements have gotten hurt. They've had to dig deeper down in it. And then obviously, Jordan, they missed. Paredes, they missed for a long period of time. He's been back. Obviously, they replaced him with Correa. Like, it's they lose, you know, their closer. It's the pitching to me. That's the part is just so, I mean, right off the bat, they lost two starters for the year, and then they had a bunch trying to come in, and then, hell, they lost two or three of those guys that were trying to get going with Garcia and Spencer Arrighetti. I just...
Right off the bat, and it didn't slow down.
They lost Pena. I remember I felt like we saw Pena warming up on the field. It seemed like he didn't come back for another two more weeks after we saw him warming up on the field. It was,
Introduced to reliever McCormick.
I am torn. Yeah, you're right. McCormick had to come in and save the day seven times. I mean, I am torn because, yes, you would think they could be able to drag themselves to a seven or eight game lead that they had and drag themselves to the finish. They suffered. Seattle did run down and go get them, obviously. This isn't the same old Mariners we've learned, but I just think if they just could have gotten one of those pitchers to remain, just one of them. I give them a pass. Someone text in, I don't give them a pass when they have that dumbass coach. That's a little strong. I mean, again, with that coach,
I'm trying to do the best I can.
He is trying to do the best he can. I mean, his hands are a bit tied. It's a bit tied. I mean, I get the anger, and you can look at some games, you wonder, but my God, man, I forgot about Hayden Wisniewski till somebody just texted that one in. I mean, good God, it was just so many of them. Just
Enzo.
Yeah, I by the way, I got to watch half damn near half of them when I went to the Space Cowboys game. Zach was in the lineup. I mean, the amount of guys.
What are all these Astros doing here?
Zach was in there. Bryce was at second. John Singleton was at first. I don't think Pedro Leon ever made it. They tried. They thought about it. Jacob Melton was out there striking out. I promise you, I thought of you in the first inning.
He Salazar, you said you saw.
Yeah, man. I think Jacob Melton struck out and he checked for the pitcher review. Oh. It was out. I'm pretty certain that was Jacob Melton. I mean, they just had him do.
Salazar's got to be like,
hey, Salazar was catching. Yes.
Keep my ass in Sugarland till Framber's out of town and with his new team. Nah, okay, I'll just chill down here.
Nah, he want that check.
Keep my distance.
He want that potential playoff check is what Cesar needs. I ain't gonna lie about that. All right, coming up as we continue. Look, they're 0-3, and the Texans are in trouble. But it may be bigger than just 0-3. We'll continue and discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line, think you're being too hard on them, Clint. And it's unbelievable the Astros made it this far with all the injuries they had.
Well, not win a Super Bowl, sure, but I mean, you showed that with those injuries that you were a team that was worthy of building a seven-game lead in the division.
Team macho.
And then down the stretch in the second half when you started getting guys back and you figured out the guys you moved to elevated were the Jason Alexanders of the world were going to be able to give you. I mean, you kind of messed the bed there. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I would say if it's World Series, yeah, hey, man, it's going to be tough to get all the way, make that run. I don't know if you got enough firepower. I don't know if you got enough arms. But given how you were set up in this division, given how you were set up with a big lead in this division, it's hard for me to say that the injuries were what were the reason why you didn't make it.
Yeah.
Personally. I get it. No doubt about it, the injuries were a big deal. But not even making the playoffs? I can't go
there.
They
missed the playoffs.
Not after what you've shown you're capable of doing with all your reserves.
You're saying how they got there, yeah. Right? Like they were in a lead. It wasn't like they were chasing. They ran out of gas because they had injuries after injuries. It was just going to be hard to get pitching. And then you had Framber just go on a swoon the entire last month plus. So
I'll see you in October.
Fall back on. That was tough. All right. This, to me, was a conversation even before the news of the day of C.J. Gardner-Johnson being released from the team because according to team sources, a bad football player, a selfish football player who went out there and did whatever the hell he wanted to do and a bad teammate that pointed fingers and didn't take accountability. Even before all of that, according to the team sources, Clint, they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. At 0-3 right now with the Colts being 3-0. And look, the Colts, I mean, they got a tough game against the Rams. Obviously, the Texans saw the Rams, and the Rams had the champs, the Eagles, on the road beat. They opened up, a 19-point lead in that game and lost. They got two field goals blocked in a game they lost by. Well, it should have been one until Jordan Davis went crazy and ran a block punt of 61 yards back with no time left. They're a good football team, but Clint, the Colts look, when I say for real, at least for real enough to win the division. Like they're going to be a problem when it comes to. They look like they can get to 10 wins, especially with their schedule. So they're in trouble, Clint, and I think they're in trouble on the field and when it comes to making the playoffs. But I think it's even deeper than that, Clint. And if this season continues to go anywhere close to the route it is, Clint, there to me clearly has to be a major change or changes made with this team. And that's where the pressure they're in right now. They've got to win this game against the Titans, and they got to get back in this thing. If not, Clint, I think we see a lot of changes, major changes with this team.
Oh, wow. What kind of changes are you talking about?
Well, I just think, Clint, if this thing continues to go like this, especially with the offense looking like this, I just don't think we're going to be able to turn to the offensive line coach as the one to be the scapegoat. I don't think we're going to turn to the OC for a second straight year. I think it would have to go a little higher up the food chain. I think, to me, if this thing goes left like it's going right now, and Clint, I mean, they they miss the playoffs and this is some sort of a 7 or 6 win team, Clint, or worse, and they're under 500, I think to me one of the big three, which in order of power, D'Amico, C.J. Stroud, Caserio, I think one of those three don't return.
Mm.
I think if it goes that way, or you're just, I mean, what are we doing here? I think one of those three don't return because you just can't keep rolling that out. And clearly they're just not working together well. And I don't think D'Amico's going anywhere. And I don't think the quarterback's going anywhere. And to me, the person that would fall on it would be, I would think, Caserio at this point.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's going to be some tough conversations if this thing stays the course. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Offensive line is a problem again, and as the picture I painted earlier,
yeah.
I mean, if it continues to go the way it's going, I mean, you can say that the decisions that were made for the offensive line, whether it's drafting the wrong guys initially or not spending money in free agency to protect the guy, you can argue that it's ruined C.J. Stroud, who's gone from leading the league in yards per game and fewest interceptions, to a guy that's not even talked about in the top quarterbacks in the league. So you can go that route. You know, when you look at the Nick Caley hire, you know, there's no doubt about it. Caserio's fingerprints are all over that joker with the history in New England. You look at the Cole Popovich hire, the New England history there. That this all has Nick Caserio written all over it. And so, look, there's definitely the big bugaboos that have held this team back and potentially ruined the quarterback, your franchise quarterback, is definitely lays at the feet of Nick Caserio.
But I would ask you and the people this, Clint, if this thing keeps going the way it is, and what I'm saying is I'm not saying they go 0-17. I think clearly they're going to win some games. Even if this thing doesn't get turned all the way around to the way that I think you would hope it would be, I think they're going to win some games with their defense. And I think CJ and Nico will have plays, have moments. They've got some talent over there. But if this team doesn't make the playoffs and this team struggles and it's still going this way offensively, if they didn't make a major change, Clint, what would be your thought process with this team? That I would think they're unserious. Like, if they didn't make a major move, they fired the offensive coordinator last year after back-to-back 10-win seasons and playoff wins. And the offensive lines got worse. I mean, I know the McNairs have said how much they, you know, obviously they like Nick. They love D'Amico. They love Nick. They love CJ. Love those guys. But, I mean, they got too much talent, Clint, to be looking the way that they look. And, as you said, all the issues with the offensive line and all of these things. I mean, Caserio's had, he's hired 3 coaches in 5 seasons. They've got 2 offensive coordinators in the last 2 years. They fired someone trying to get better. They look a lot worse. The draft has been, I think there's been some really good things done in the draft, but then there's some other odd moves too. I think if this thing continues, I can't take the Texans serious if they would just run back those 3 guys to make the same decisions again. There's just no way you can get there and say, all right, our offensive line's a problem again. We're going to let these guys fix it again. They came in here, Clinton said, our offensive line's the problem. Their moves was Cam Robinson, Ed Ingram, Lakin Tomlinson, and crew.
They're all fixable.
They can't let that come by again. Now, I'm not saying all 3 of them got to be gone. I'm not saying 2 of them got to be gone. But, somebody has got to fall on the sword for this team that the McNairs have expectations to get at the very least in the playoffs in this division. Daniel Jones is going to hold them out? No, I can't. I can't at all get with them even the thought of running it back. And I think the fan base would lose their mind if all of those guys came.
Well, it's a messy situation. And look, I'll be honest with you. I don't think any of them are gone. I think they're too.
Matter what happens.
No matter what happens, I don't think any of them, any heads roll whatsoever of the 3 that you mentioned. I mean, C.J. Stroud, only a fool would not at least keep him through year 4 to see what happens. And D'Amico obviously is going nowhere. I could see where you know, obviously there's some warts with Nick Caserio, but again, I don't think any of them are going to be, regardless of how bad this season goes, I don't think any of them are going to be quick trigger worthy.
Really?
Yep.
Tyler might quit the Texans if they did that. I'm not even saying Nick is bad at his job or any of them are terrible at their job. It's just, this isn't working. Like, that's what we'd have to get to if this thing continues to roll. Like, this isn't working. Like, there's no way that we could keep rolling like this. Text line coming in. Caserio would definitely be on the hot seat. Guys, Caserio should be on the hot seat right now. I'm just saying. This offensive line, this offseason is starting to be rough even more with the Gardner Johnson news today. I mean, this has not been a good run for Nick Caserio in the last 6 months.
Well, you got to look at it as you are heavily dependent on the offensive side of the football of Nick Caserio. And you look at it right now, you've got a lack of weapons. You look at it right now, the offensive coordinator that you clearly hired isn't working out. And you look at it right now, the one of the biggest issues, top three issue in the entire NFL, if you would have ranked issues in the NFL, protecting C.J. Stroud after the rookie year that he had, and then the rough second year was up there, the top three, and then you take the route that you did and it doesn't work out. Yeah, I think Nick Caserio is the one, you know, the conversation here. I think there's a conversation to be had. I just don't think heads end up rolling.
I think he's the one that really needs this to turn around the most.
Oh, I agree with that.
I think he is the one that is in line. And I don't even think it's all Nick's fault, because I do believe them when they say that they're making a lot of, you know, decisions together. This is a group thing.
Yeah.
That they're making a lot of decisions together. But, I mean, if they win 6 games this year and C.J. Stroud plays the whole way, I mean, yeah. If they run it back with those three, that is wild to me. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock fire. As we continue, we'll get you ready for the Astros in this huge, huge series. And as they finish up on the road, they start with the A's. We'll get you ready for that. The news of the day, what does this look like on the field for the Texans with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and our first quarterback change this season in the NFL? We'll discuss that coming up.